that could ever be bestowed upon me as the Baptist woman to be invited to give this service, especially since all of you have been following me with my trials and tribulations. As you may know that I've been struggling with my daughters, and I've been struggling rehab, drug rehab. I've been struggling with many illnesses. I used to think that I was a walking case of Murphy's Law. Whatever could go wrong would go wrong. And I used to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not Job.
What?
Why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. But now I say, Lord, I got the faith of Job. And now I just pray for the endurance of Job.
Amen.
And so he's still putting some things on me because he's working on that endurance. And I tell you, day by day, I get more and more strength and more faith. And I pray for more and more knowledge. Mm-hmm. I usually do a little devotion. And my theme today is about Christian women.
Woman.
And what it takes to be a good, strong Christian woman. Because that's the journey that I'm on right now. Is learning to be a noble Christian woman.
Speak up a little, Trina, so they can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm working on being the best Southern Baptist Christian woman that I can be. And I just want to start off with a devotion that I wrote called Birdsong, so that you can understand where this sermon is taking me.
Amen.
This is called Birdsong. I like to wake up at 5 a.m. when the world seems to stand almost still. The sky is not quite blue yet. It's yet a soothing gray. Barely any cars can be heard. The ones that stand out on the corners, making it unsafe for the children in my neighborhood to play, don't come out at this time. Early in the morning, wreaking havoc with curse words, passing out small packets to the ones Mama called lost souls for money. The young girls don't jump rope alongside the curb anymore since the bad ones, stray bullet, killed one last week. She was only 11 years old. Mama says it's a shame so many children have no guidance these days. The government has closed down most of the recreation centers and public parks in our areas, and price ranges are so high that our children can't afford to have safe places to play. I asked, why don't we move? She says we shouldn't have to. Besides, Dad got hurt on his job, and we can't afford to anyhow. We have nice clothes from Walmart. My brother and I go to school, get good grades. Mom cooks the best food I ever tasted. We've never missed Sunday school and service, where the Lord hears our prayers and praises. I like going because I get a chance to play with some of my friends. Mama says when she was young, churches opened their doors on the weekends just for an hour or two to welcome the neighborhood kids in for some clean, wholesome recreation. But nowadays, most don't do that anymore. That's why I can't wait until I'm a grown man. Maybe the Lord will answer my prayers that I can open a church for every child and even grown-ups to offer free services to help them stay away from a life of sin. Even if it means just to give a poor person free clothes, reading lessons, or how to speak at a job interview, and to give a poor child someplace safe to play for a few hours on a Saturday. But for now, because I'm only 7, I'll continue to receive my recreation by waking up at 5 a.m. and sit beneath my bedroom window listening to the beautiful birds sing their song that comes from the heavens. Thank you, Lord, for the bird song.
Amen.
I'm going to read from Proverbs 31, chapter 31, verse 10 through 31. The wife of noble character. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm. all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the staff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet refers to double garments. She makes sure that her kids have enough blankets on at night in the winter. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple, and back in them days, to get silk and purple, you had to work hard to save money to get a little bit of silk and purple. So she's a hard-working woman. Her husband is respected at the city gate. In the Old Testament, it says, when he takes his seat among the elders. In the New Testament, it says, where he takes his seat among the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them. Supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you suppress them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her reward as she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Mm-hmm. I'm working hard to be that woman.
Come on now.
I looked at my life and where it was taking me. And where it was taking me on the road that I was on was to nowhere. I was full of resentment because my mom left me early because she died of alcoholism. And at first I blamed her. But then I realized my mom didn't go to church. So my mother didn't have the mentors that I had. But she did take me to church once when I was a little girl at 4. And I won a beauty contest. Even though when I was pronounced dead at birth, she told me I was the ugliest little thing she ever seen, all blue and purple and dead. But a nurse went past and said, I saw that little baby chest move. And the doctor revived me. So I knew then that my mama knew her baby was beautiful. She taught me to be independent and get my education, so that I don't have to worry about somebody else taking care of me. So I thank my mama for that. But sometimes, like right now, I'm blessed. I'm on low income, but I live in my own home. And it's on a nice little cul-de-sac. And everybody's nice. Right now, everybody knows me. The man next door, he knows I'm disabled and he plows my snow. But when I go around the corner, it's almost like I go into a ghost town. Sometimes I'll be waiting to see one of those tumbleweeds go by.
Mama.
Even though the cars are going by, when I get to the corner store, there's always a little child standing out there, half-dressed, begging for change to eat.
Come on now, come on.
And this just shocks me and saddens my soul. But I always bring the change back out and give it to the little child. I don't wait to see if that's exactly what he's going to do with the money, because that's not what's concerning me. What's concerning me is that we got children on the street that don't have nowhere to go. And I'm wondering what happened to those words, because my grandmother used to say that too. It takes a village to raise a child. What happened to the churches that used to open up for a couple of hours on Saturdays? Because I used to be one of those kids that went to those churches that opened up for just 1 hour, give you a bowl of soup, and let you play a few games. I remember once I used to look at the piano, and the pastor asked me, he said, can you play that? I said, no. He said, yes, you can. Sit down. And he taught me how to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And I didn't go to church regularly because, like I said, at that time, my parents weren't church-going folks. But it put a seed in my brain that all this ruckus that was going on in my household and some of my other family members' household wasn't what happens in everybody's household. So that's why I stand in church today, because of that church that used to welcome me into their house on one Saturday a week for 1 hour. So as Christian women, I believe it is our job to not only be mothers when we're in our own personal household.
Come on, man.
We have to be mothers every day, everywhere, every hour. Because that is what God has given us the duty to be. And I had to look deep into myself and say, how can I be this person? It doesn't take much to be a hero. And I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm trying to be a strong, Southern, Black, Christian mother. Not just for my children, but for all those children that are lost out in the world. So I asked the Lord, teach me how to be this person. He said, first, you got to get your house straight.
Amen.
And how am I going to do that? I have to start loving myself by realizing God does not make no mistakes.
All right now.
I have to start forgiving myself because God gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to forgive me for my errors, because I am human and I am bound to sin. And if you go to verse 10, it says it right here. A wife of a noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. I have to remember that I am worth far more than rubies, because I am something that God has created. I have to believe that I can do all things through Christ, because he strengthens me. Verse 16 backs that up. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She can do almost anything. Four, God will fight my battles. Nothing's too hard to do. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. They got double garments. So why fear when you got God backing you up? Five, I'm not judged by what I was. I'm judged by who I am, who I've become, and what I do, and what I will do. Verse 29 says, many women do noble things, but you suppress them all. Six, my God is a just God.
Come on now.
31 says, give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. As a young woman, I still dream of finding my soulmate. One day I will, but I'll have patience. I no longer look in the mirror and think I'm not pretty enough or I'm too fat, that there's no one out there for me. It's just that God's not ready for that yet. God's got work for me, and he knows that right now that there's not the man out there for me yet that's going to have enough patience to share me with God. Because, for one, I think I'm an all right looking woman. I got a good sense of humor. I'm a great cook. And I can even make Ebenezer Scrooge laugh. God knows it would take a special one to be able to stand and stay away from me that long while I'm out serving the Lord. So right now, I'm content with being single. I chose the life of celibacy because I'm also a role model to other young women. You do not have to give away your body to have someone love you. And because I know something that I didn't know now when I had children out of wedlock, is that marriage is a privilege. It's not a necessity. Mm-hmm. When God created woman, he gave us such gifts that if we respect ourselves and love ourselves and follow the love commandments, those gifts we possess can get a man to do almost anything we ask him to. Remember Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. Marrying you is the easiest thing. I'm talking about the good stuff, like taking out the garbage, helping you around the house, mm-hmm. washing the dishes, cooking you a meal sometime, even rubbing your feet after he get off from work. And especially when you both work, and then the stay-home mom, she's the one who really needs the most breaks, because she with them little suckers all day long. And if she can get dad to come home from work and help her out with him, she's a blessed woman. Christian wives who truly love their men and Christian men who truly love their women are usually called henpecked by worldly people. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. They are loved and they are bonded by God. So Christian women, know that you've been given a gift that is to be held onto for someone special and only that one special man. That man that God sent to you. You'll know this when he comes, because the Spirit will whisper into your ear, this is he. He does not judge, he does not ridicule, he is kind, he is loving, he is patient, he is understanding, he is humble, he is hardworking. He does not bring work home. He is the head of the house, yet he fears God. There is no yellow signs, no pink signs, no red signs, no signs. And God will whisper to you, girl, go get your man, and I shall unite you. Never use your gifts against this man. Use them with him and only him. He is the man of your house, so let him take care of you, which means you should know when he needs you, when he needs your help. So never hold your gift over his head to get your way. Give your gift to him lovingly, and everything will always fall in place. Remember, Christian women, as women, we are very emotional. And sometimes our hormones jump all over the chart, and our tongues run faster than our minds and hearts. And sometimes in disagreements, and this happens, take a time out. And ask the Lord to give you guidance and knowledge to work your problems out. Never mouth out in public or at home. This only opens up Satan's ears, and then he gets all kind of people in your business, and he'll tear down those things that you worked 10 years or waited 10 years to get, and you'll find yourself home alone and sad and lonely. And I hope with this message that I gave you all enough that make you all have a happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.